What's up, everybody? Welcome to Decorations of War. I am your host, Alexei Avkard, joined by my co-recording co-host, Yin Tan.
Hello, everyone.
And Artemis Albosa.
Howdy, howdy.
First, some shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to Severance for being super fun in stream last night. We attempted to reinforce one of their Pokos in high sec. They sent a very sizable response fleet, and they hung around. They joined the stream. We had some good times. They gave me some balls. They gave me some exotic dancers. They gave me an Ibis with Trit in it. It was, you know, very magical evening. So, shout outs to you guys. Looking forward to being station camped by you several times this week.
Speaking of Severance, I want to give a shout out to Bovril, who have just joined Severance. And I want to thank them for undoubtedly killing Severance sometime in the near future. Good job, everyone.
And on the topic of corporations joining alliances, my shout-out is to Black Omega Security. Welcome to MC, gentlemen.
Excellent pickup. Very happy for MC.
Indeed.
But is MC
blindsided
getting too
us,
big?
No joke. Did you see the article about that from Science?
Yeah, I was memeing about that. I was making reference
gotcha.
To it.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm sorry I didn't pick up on that.
I posted several times in that thread.
Indeed. Some good thoughts from you, Alec.
Don't worry, my meme Padawan. I will soon train you in the art.
I got a lot of response from my post in the Is MC Getting Too Big thing. Apparently several people feel yes it is. Because they're like, Alec, all these things you're talking about. I'm like, oh, shit.
I find it funny that a lot of the comments about MC getting too big come from dudes not in EUTZ. Where we don't actually see all of the numbers, because we picked up a ton of EU, but US and AUTZ, apart from ANZA joining back in the day, which literally created our AUTZ, haven't grown that much.
Wow, maybe that was a shot at ARC. Damn, dude.
I mean, as far as, apart from ARC's amazing work, he is only one man. He can only do so much. At some point, you got to get some other bros in there to help him out.
It's okay, Ark. I still think you have the strength of 10 men. Please join my corp. Speaking of which, the Capitalist Army, guys. This podcast brought to you by the Capitalist Army. We're bringing free trade to dangerous space, one region at a time. And it's CEO'd by myself. We've got myself as an FC. We've got another Noir Academy FC. We're happy to train new players. We're building a really awesome PvP and manufacturing community. And it's, for lack of a better term, the official community of our podcast here. Although I would like to think that Jin's Corp and, of course, Noir still have very valuable places there. End of the day, this is the corp that I'm CEOing, so come on, get in. You know you want to. It's the place to be. Join the Capitalist Army. Convo me in-game. Join our chat channel. We recruit by having you fleet up with us and fly around for a little while. It should be a lot of fun. So come check us out. Looking for more dudes, looking to do some pretty interesting stuff in 2017.
Wait, did you just say Jin's Corp?
Yeah.
Do you know the name of my corporation? Oh, don't just look it
of
up.
Of course that I do.
What is it?
20 questions?
It's, Curatoris.
That's not a corporation, man. Just letting you know, that's an alliance.
I got this.
No, actually, I have no idea what one you're in.
Ezekiel
Pentag
says,
Blade. You said yeah. Pentag Blade. I knew it. Yeah. I knew it the whole time.
Definitely. Just testing me.
Actually, I never bothered checking which corp you're in. Pentag Blade. What is the deal with these guys?
We're known as PTB.
I've been fighting CVA for years, and I've never heard of it.
Yes, same.
I mean, your CEO's got a fantastic name, Mr. Moo. Shout out to you.
That's true. Shout out to Mr. Moo, though, for being the best CEO a man could have. Oh, he's basically just the quiet guy who watches everything happen, and then the second he sees something retarded, he's like, oh, that's not happening, and everyone just respects him. That is exactly what a CEO should be.
Awesome. And I also want to give a shout out to their other Diplo guy, Punk Slap. That is an awesome name.
Yeah, we also had a guy in our corp called Porno Surfer for a while. We also have Sov Drop. and forum drama.
Wow.
You got Easy Life in there?
Yeah.
Captain Jean-Luc Discard. Commander Spork.
As you can tell, we like our funny names.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm a big fan. We got Stuffed Man, Hollow Man, Sum Ting Wong. Is other alt We Too Low.
Do they do the whole thing?
Do we have Bum Ting Ow?
How you understand?
Also, We Too Low. Oh, God. All right, we've gone completely off the rails here. So,
land my plane too soon.
Why don't we remind the listeners that you can advertise on declarations of war for a low, low price. We reach a large amount of listeners all the way through New Eden.
Yes, absolutely. If you would like your spot instead of me shilling my personal corp, that could be you. It's pretty reasonable rates. Come with me in game or shoot me an email. We can do your corp, your alliance, your service, your out-of-game service, whatever you need. All right, now we had a poll. As you guys will know, I've been having some mic issues. Hopefully this time around, you can actually hear the words that I'm saying. I bought this new Yeti mic, and while the sound quality is fantastic, apparently it doesn't get along with TeamSpeak very well. So we had a vote. What is causing my mic issues? And it's a tie between gremlins and karma for my wicked ways. Also in the running, government orgon cannons and malicious peptides.
I'm pretty sure it's just the reptilians. Obviously, you don't want your beautiful voice going out on the sound waves uninhibited.
It's well, if you were in the know, and from America, you would know that the shape-shifting reptilian overlords are actually behind the government orgon cannons.
Oh my god, it all makes sense now. Dude, stay woke.
Alright guys, getting into our top stories. The big story, the thing that absolutely exploded New Eden while we were away for our winter break. The Winter War 2017. Tesco and Friends versus Stainwagon, Red Swarm and Friends. Holy shit, this is amazing. So, as you guys know from following politics, Circle of Two and Test lived in the North during the course of World War B and its aftermath. They got involved in that fighting, took space. Well, CO2 had their space, but turned on Imperium. Test took space, and then promptly they got kicked out by PanFam.
It's also worth noting that they are not the only people who were directly affected by World War B who are involved here. As goons, after being kicked out, went to Delve and kicked out a number of relatively strong entities from there, who ended up residing within Catch, creating the independent Catch entities kind of subgroup. Most notably Lumpy and Just Let It Happen, as well as Dangerous Voltage and Tactical Supremacy.
Not to forget AFCON as well.
Yeah, AFCON, former Imperium Alliance, didn't go to Delve or Catch, but did go south and is involved in this conflict.
Mm-hmm. And this is all something that I cover in my video, Shill Shill Shill, called A Prelude to the Winter War.
It's absolutely fantastic video. You should all watch it. I'm actually going to link it in the show notes here.
Yeah, and it goes over kind of the histories of all of the different entities and why the fighting happened. And I'm doing basically whenever I feel like them updates on what's happening in the South. It's good fun to do.
I believe the other one is Winter War First Blood.
Yes, talking about F4R2, which was a catastrophically huge fight involving about 750 billion ISK lost.
Absolutely amazing.
Fun is a relative term.
I mean, 8 to 9 hours of tie-dye is a thing, but...
Yeah, I really wanted to be there for that, but then afterward I was glad that I wasn't. Because F4R, while an incredible fight with a lot of consequence, looked absolutely unplayable, from what I've heard.
Yeah, from what I hear, the nodes weren't entirely reinforced all the way they could be, and that led to a lot of desyncing issues, some of which affected me specifically. So I had to take my fleet out of the system, because it was taking 5 to 7 minutes for a fleet warp to go through.
Yeah, that's just not fun for anyone.
Interesting. Speaking of your fleet, Jin, you forgot to mention Pravi in your description of the sides of the Winter War, notably Providence directly north of Catch, the main area of fighting right now, and the south is effectively Providence's backyard. So, Providence, Jin, what's your position?
Well, I'll tell you what, they're not too busy to come save HiSec Pokus. I know that for sure.
We know. Yeah. My position is kind of nuanced. I'm happy to kind of help Stainwagon in some aspects. Like, they've been good allies to us, they've helped us when ourselves been attacked, but I don't have any real desire to be, like, full-blown allies in the war. I'm just there for fights, and, you know, I'll probably try and kill Untosuses. That's about it. I'm not coordinating with them, I'm not shaking hands and sucking dicks, as it were.
Well, let's talk about who's where and why. So, Circle of Two and Test, getting evicted by PanFam, moving south to find a new home. They initially set up in Curse, and they're pushing into Catch. Now, Catch is owned by Stainwagon, which includes AAA and various large Stain alliances south of Catch. They're called Stainwagon because historically they have their roots in Stain, even though they control many, many regions that border Stain. All the alliances sort of can trace their roots back there, and they routinely retreat back to Stain when faced with significant challenge. It's basically their home away from home, and everything else is just gravy on top. Now, Stainwagon have historically been very strong allies of the Imperium, which is Goonswarm's previous coalition, and really just allies with Goonswarm in general. So with Goonswarm now going down to Delve, which is right next to Stain, but on the other side from where Stainwagon have set up their sob space. And when Tesco came down and started attacking Stainwagon, Goons not only saw an ally under attack, but an ally under attack by groups that had kicked them out recently, particularly Circle of Two, which was in their coalition, and then switched sides mid-fight. So they have a lot of reasons to be in this war. Now, with that happening, you've also got Vanguard, Tri, Afcon, all those guys, which have already been fighting Stain in the Deep South. Now they're aligning with Tesco to expand that. You've got Drone Walkers, which is I wouldn't say like a huge coalition, but a significant coalition in Branch.
The Tenal Control Unit, Drone Walkers, in itself is an alliance within that that is the head. The old Drone Walkers coalition that was involved in World War B coalesced themselves into a single alliance shortly after that event.
Ah, good to know. So we got Tenal Control Unit then, which I think Drone Walkers, the alliance, is making up a large part of the force that actually came down, but probably not only.
No, yeah, it is. The majority of it is Drone Walkers. There's nuance there. It's
Keep in mind, guys, if you're listening to this at home, this is a huge conflict involving almost 100,000 players. So we're painting in very broad strokes here. We're last probably not going to get all the details.
Last check, there were 70,000 people directly involved on either side, and around, I'd say around, 50 to 70,000 extras in third-party capacities from the PanFam, Drone Region Federations, Provi Block, and some of the Easternly Fountain forces who have also been involved, as well as there's been some incidents with Initiative working with other alliances to deal with alliances that are hostile to Goonswarm that were attempting to move in during their absence from Delve.
You've also, as Yin mentioned, we've got Pandemic Legion NC Dot coming south, not with their Super Capital Fleet, but still coming south to get in on this fighting. And recently, MC was contracted to get involved in the war.
Indeed, MC has deployed fully down to Catch to fight with Circle of Test and their friends. We are down here, we are enjoying the fun. Lots and lots of fights everywhere. a lot of Entosis Warfare, which is sparked a bit of a conversation prior to the show that I'd like to pick back up if we can.
We can totally do that. Basically, I would like to point out that this conflict involves every significant entity except for the DRF, which is the Russian coalition that controls the drone regions.
It really does, because the Vanguard Coalition is effectively backed by the Drone Region Federation, and we've actually seen them start to move into the outlying regions of Stainwagon space for the conflict itself. They've been primarily focusing themselves in Phetherbolus and Amist. So not directly involving themselves in the catch conflict, as it were, but they have been working to kind of nibble at the extremities of Stainwagon territory whilst they're being kept busy.
Alright, so then Darkness and Horde. It's basically literally, the only alliances of note that are not directly involved.
Yeah. It's crazy huge.
Yeah, this is actually even bigger than World War B, if you think about it.
Yeah, well, it's the same entities. Like I said at the time, it's effectively an echo of World War B.
Yeah, but now there's, like, Stainwagon is directly involved, DRF directly involved.
Very true.
Tri wasn't involved in, well, yeah, I don't think Tri was really involved in World War B much. So it's everyone that was involved in World War B plus a couple. Which is crazy. Like, we're seeing the largest wars in EVE history over the past year or two, which is, it's fabulous. It's a good time to play the game.
But the scale of these wars is bringing up some interesting points of discussion surrounding how FuzzySoft handles very large-scale conflicts. FuzzySoft was intended to sort of make these sorts of scales of conflicts where everybody deploys and you've got thousands of players on each side, not make them impossible, but certainly discourage them. And what we're seeing here is when you have so many people on each side, the design of FuzzySoft for controlling engagements throughout an entire region, for localized conflict in smaller groups has gone by the wayside, and emerging in its place, you have effectively two options. The option which was taken back during the Tribute War was escalating to capitals and super capitals, utilizing very heavy Entosis ships, Rorquals, and fax machines, very large tank, difficult to get rid of, or what's being utilized down in the southern conflict now is normal Entosis-ing ships, a lot of Tech 2 Entosis rapiers, things which are very skittish, can get away from most things. However, the one thing they can't get away from are interceptors, and these interceptors are insta-warp and very, very fast warping. They warp at around 10 AU per second, depending on the speed. So instead of having to rely on controlling strategic movement points and travel throughout a region, everybody has just shifted their gears over to very fast-moving ships, which don't care if you've got a bubble camp up. They'll just warp right through it.
Yeah, basically what this is doing is, if neither side can effectively control a capital engagement, if they're not certain that they can automatically win a single point concentration of force, in my opinion, devolves into what is effectively an arms race of strategic mobility, which highly devalues the usage of cruiser and battlecruiser and battleship doctrines to the T3Ds and interceptor fleets that we've seen so much of, with them being used to shoot down the unreppable Entosis-ing ships, or, with the T3Ds, attempt to just instantly volley interceptors as they land on grid.
Indeed.
We had a pretty strong discussion prior to the start of the show about whether this was necessarily a bad thing or just a factor of alliances, proclivities in this conflict. I'm of the opinion that, having a little diversity in EVE is great. We're still seeing huge conflicts like F4R, which was a massive super capital brawl that practically crashed the servers, but we're also seeing these extended rolling frigate engagements. I am sympathetic to that. It's a little annoying that they're all interceptors and there's not a little more diversity there, but underlying, I think, there's a lot of good stuff happening there with frigates, frigate counters and those things being at play in sort of a small-scale extended rolling conflict across several systems. I think that's actually fun.
My personal problem with it is that it devalues the influence of effectively individual FC skill and maybe not so much individual pilot skill as a lot of the counters to, for example, Fozzy Claws, which is instant warp, instant volleying, artillery fit claws, are based more around individual skill. It does devalue the skill of FCs and the skills of theory crafters to a degree that I personally think is not healthy for the game, as when you are limited to something that is destroyers and below to be effective within the confines of the timer-based system, go ahead.
I think you're going a little bit too far there. As far as devaluing of FC skill, with Fozzy Claws, when you're going away on the spectrum from large centerpiece fights between two large ship, large number groups into these claws roaming around, there is a lot more, not necessarily engagement-specific things to do for an FC, but certainly positional work to be done. You've got to deal with where are hostile forces coming from? How long will it take them to get to you? Is there anything you can do about them? There's less of a focus certainly on fleet command within an engagement, but there's a whole lot more to be done surrounding getting into and out of engagements. Which ones do you take? Which ones do you not take? And more importantly, given the fluidity of the battlefield and the way that the Entosis nodes spawn up in random locations throughout regions, there's a lot of mobility to be concerned with, and I think it doesn't necessarily devalue the job of an FC or their skill. It simply shifts the focus of their skill from a specific calling targets, winning the engagement, positioning on field, to positioning within a region, which fights do I take, which fights do I run away from. And to the point of theory crafting, I'd say there's quite a lot of effort being put in to how to counter claws and how to counter the interceptors. An interesting result of this I found is it used to be, at least on the onset of Fozzy Sob, like people thought Dictors, especially myself, would be incredibly important. Stopping fleet mobility, I thought, would be of the highest importance in these battles. But as we're seeing now with all these interceptors, they don't care about bubbles. And as a result, bubbles aren't utilized. You can go throughout catch during one of these big old fights. You won't see very many Dicto bubbles on gates. Maybe that opens up some opportunities for someone to bring in something which would otherwise be unable to operate in that environment due to mobility hindered by bubbles to have a chance to do something interesting.
Yeah, and that's a fair point, but I personally see that I don't personally think that devaluing, you know, mechanical skill, you know, understanding game mechanics is, you know, beneficial to the game over in, you know, as opposed to the current place where skill is required, which is in coordination and communication, because the game already requires a lot of that in terms of large fights anyway. I feel like it devalues and deflates combat importance when capital ships, well, okay, maybe not capital ships, because capital ships do have a role within Entosis warfare. It's just they're not currently being used, as neither side is able to ensure that they will win. But, you know, I feel like in Dominion Sov, you were forced to put as much as you could on one grid, and whilst that was, you know, terrible for the overall game in terms of the server acted, I can't help but think that if there was some benefit to having more concentration of force, you'd get more organic fights. The suggestion I personally opine for is having nodes be not a node-based system, but a damage cap. Have it be a damage-capped structure that is slowly destroyed over the course of 10 or 5 minutes.
And pray you don't have tie-dye, because then defenders would never lose.
yes, that's... Well, don't you could tie-dye it with tie-dye. Because that's how damage caps work on Citadels.
The repair cycle on Citadels notably does not get slowed down with tie-dye.
It does, actually.
Really? Is this
they changed that
change?
About 2 months ago. You should read the patch notes.
I should read the patch notes.
This was covered last CSM Summit.
I apologize. Very good point.
No
then.
Worries.
Anyway, back to your point about moving away from mechanical knowledge and how you think that more coalescence into a larger fighting force, one side versus the other, as opposed to high mobility fights being better for the game. I can see where that comes from. I think it's... I wouldn't quite dispute it, but I wouldn't quite agree with it either. I think it certainly has its place. I am personally a fan of the high mobility and very fluid fights that Solid Mechanics as is creates. It creates a lot of interesting things to be done around communication and coordination between fleets, right? Do I split up my claw fleet, send some guys over to this node, some guys over to that node? It requires a lot of scouting. You have to know where the nodes are in order to deal with them. You have to know where the hostile fleets are to know which ones you can deal with.
I guess my thing is, we already have so many opportunities for these big fixed area set piece battles, structure grinds, citadels, the initial reinforcement on the Sov structure. And in some cases, if you're putting down like an iHub or a TCU, the actual capturing of said thing after you put it down, you still need to entosis that. That's another single point conflict where there's no nodes involved. Eve already has so much of that. I'm hesitant to agree with you that like there is no role for this kind of extended frigate high mobility conflict. It's nice to have some diversity in the game. We already have so much of the one thing. Why take away the one instance where going smaller is better than just going bigger and spreading yourself out is better than being in one place?
Yeah, I see that the node mechanics already give a benefit for spreading out, just because if you're using battleships on, a node-based system, you cannot effectively move between them very well. You can't transfer a victory on one node to a victory on another node. Whereas using smaller ships like cruisers or even frigates, you would be able to. So you'd have a natural advantage in simply warp speed and the ability to get out of any bubble camps.
I think the unfortunate part about your point on battleships and moving between nodes is when FozzySub was first coming out, a lot of talking points was on controlling strategic movement, like moving between regions, taking advantage of the interconnectivity of systems. Jump bridge networks were cited as a very strong benefit and power for the defenders. And if interceptors were not insta-warp and insta or could ignore bubbles or interdiction nullified, then certainly there could be strategic play for battleships holding a choke point, holding a point of travel in order to get to the nodes. But because these interceptors, these small ships, not only are they fast enough to move between nodes, but they cannot be held down, they can't be stopped from accessing any given spot, is what really breaks the system down.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I agree that maybe the problem lies specifically with the interceptors and the way they're balanced, as opposed to FozzySov in general. But, there's no way to know that until something is changed.
The question...
And changing the interdiction nullification of interceptors is a pretty huge change.
Yeah.
That's pretty core to their identity as a ship. So,
I don't personally think it is, but then again, I've talked about wanting to remove interdiction nullification from interceptors before.
I don't have really an opinion. I find it super useful to have, but on the other hand, it does pose some big challenges.
It goes against one of the core things that I think are fundamental to the ecosystem of PvP, which is the ability of the defender to force an engagement.
It's an interesting point. I have a question to pose for you, Jin-Tan. Of the two options we've discussed for dealing with FozzySov, either escalating up, going to capitals, or escalating down using huge numbers of interceptors, which do you prefer? Do you think one's necessarily better than the other, or you just generally dislike both? What are your thoughts?
In general, I prefer escalating up because it gives you more opportunities for long scale fights, you know, that are huge draws to both the game and to the playstyle of Eve. And also it means that wars are more likely to cost more money, which means that, you know, less people want to get involved in wars at the start, and that leads to the decentralization of conflict, which is good.
Or giant blue donuts.
Or giant super coalitions, you know, that also is the other option. Because people are cowards, and you're never going to stop cowardice, unfortunately. But, you know, I don't really like either, but I don't think any solve system is going to be perfect. It's a choice of lesser of two evils, and in my opinion, I feel like having a system where you are encouraged to throw all your, you know, throw your hand on the field and wave your dick around a little bit is a bit better than, you know, having to you know, use small ships to get an advantage through strategic mobility.
Interesting points.
But yeah, you know, this is a very high conceptual argument, and in general, I think everyone has their own opinion of what the best possible iteration of Sov could be, and also their idea of the goals of Sov, more to the point. Because it isn't just how you take it, it's also what does Sov do when you get it.
That yeah, absolutely. Really
comes into it. In fact, we've seen, you know, a lot of very interesting quirks of the Fozzy Sov system come through, with TCUs being almost completely ignored in favor of iHubs, as iHubs are effectively the holders of the ADM system, which in turn provide defenders advantage to Intosising.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest aspects of Fozzy Sov that I disagreed with was making the TCUs literally only a flag in the space. There is no material advantage to them. I could see CCP's argument for that, but in the context of the other structures actually providing material advantages and strategic advantages, to have the other third structure actually not impact the game in any way seems like an odd choice. Like, you could conquer an entire region without touching one of the TCUs, and it wouldn't matter. Like, your name wouldn't show up on Verite, but otherwise, that's it. Like, you would get every other benefit of having Sov. That seems strange to me.
I don't see a benefit to including the third structure, really. I mean, let's say we throw iHubs, right? You can't place an iHub unless you own the TCU. Jump bridges. Jump bridges are now decoupled from iHubs. The utilization of them is entirely based on how long the TCU is up. Similar mechanics with the iHub, it's just now on the TCU.
Why not just roll the TCU into the iHub, then? Just cut it down to two structures.
Right?
That
so
makes more sense.
If we're splitting up usefulness of structures to the two structures, does that provide benefit, or would it be more beneficial to put it all into a single structure?
I think with the way Eve currently is, probably the single structure. I think with the way Eve would like, way I would like Eve to be, there would be some sort of grade between I have 100% control of the system to I don't control the system at all. There would be some sort of opportunity to have a back and forth there. But in practice, most Eve conflicts are pretty decisive on the first battle. Right. Like, either you hold the system or you don't.
Well, this one's actually had a pretty decent back and forth. We've seen a lot of timers go one way or the other. It's not been very conclusive as of yet, which is great. I love that. If that's something to do with Fozzy Sov, then fucking nice one. I would definitely agree with that.
Well, the thing with Sov timers in particular going back and forth is when the iHub is destroyed, ADMs are reset, as you mentioned, and so it's very, very easy to swap those structures back and forth, to take it and lose it and take it back again. In particular, from an attacker's perspective, you take over a hostile system. You're not moving your ratters or your miners in there to start raising the ADMs and protect it. You're moving on to the next system and attacking further. So, in particular, the metric I look at for control of an area is living structures. So not necessarily stations, because they're important, but their importance is not as significant as it was prior to Citadel. So the dropping of Fortizars, which was the catalyst for the massive F4R fight, Citadels going up, pauses going up or being torn down, that I think is much more reflective of control over a region than Sov, at least after the initial iHub destruction and ADMs are no longer in the picture.
Yeah, personally, my preference regarding the whole back and forth is that I would love sovereignty to become a simple constellation-based system as opposed to individual system-based, just due to the mechanics of FuzzySolv, I think it would make more sense. But I know that's hilariously controversial.
Well, anyway, speaking of citadels, 00 isn't the only area having fun with them. Right now, we're seeing major efforts in HiSec to establish citadel control, particularly over the systems around Jeta. For obvious reasons, Jeta being the most popular trade hub in New Eden, if you control citadels adjacent or within maybe even two jumps of Jeta, that's a huge, huge economic opportunity for your alliance in terms of manufacturing and trade. And of course, where there is opportunity, there is conflict. We've talked about it on the show a couple times, actually. There are numerous HiSec entities which are reinforcing these structures. Wrecking Machine, Vendetta Mercenaries, and apparently Pandemic Horde. Pandemic Horde has seen the opportunity in HiSec and has put down their own citadels, and the HiSec PvP community has attacked them. And unlike many owners of these citadels who either are unable or choose not to defend their citadels when they're under attack by these PvP groups, Horde has turned up, and they turned up big, and they're winning. Horde was able to field, I believe, a 200 or 250-man Hurricane fleet against the faction battleship and Tech 3 goodness of HiSec PvP alliances like Vendetta Mercenaries, and they won. It was an awesome fight from all accounts that I've heard, and it's still an ongoing conflict as the HiSec community continues to push against Horde, and Horde continues to push back and try to hold their space. Apparently Horde is having a great time. The Mercs are, finally getting a challenge, which, I mean, I assume they don't enjoy losing, but I do assume that they enjoy finally getting fights from these people over citadels. And, it's a very interesting situation that we're gonna have to see how it plays out. Horde is definitely attracted by the money there, and they've gotta be enjoying fights against these HiSec guys where they don't have to worry about being signed in upon at every opportunity. And the HiSec guys are finally, running up against a serious challenge in HiSec, which there really hasn't been for, years now. There really hasn't been a serious power in HiSec, aside from this, I don't want to call it a blue donut, but this cartel of HiSec PvPers and mercenaries. Individually, not super strong, but they often come together. Horde being a single alliance, I don't think there's really been a challenge like Horde for in HiSec quite a while. So it's going to be interesting to see how long can Horde keep it up. How long do the Mercs want to continue throwing their very expensive ships at that wall? And as we get updates, we're going to continue to bring them to you. And speaking of updates, Jin, you've got an update from the CSM.
Yes. As you guys might know, the Winter Summit of the CSM is quickly approaching. It's going to be a very interesting one. We're going to be talking about loads of topics pertaining to both the current state of the game and hopefully the future of the game. So I and my fellow CSM have been trying to, do more outreach as we always do nearing this time to talk to you guys. And I just this week completed an NPE roundtable. Where I got together a bunch of ISDs and, notable members of the new player kind of teaching groups, and had a very long discussion with them about how the new player experience worked, what some, improvement points could be, and, generally just having a chat about it. And there's also a survey. I'd still encourage people to fill it out. It's something that I'm going to be printing all of them off, collating them, and doing some data management just before I leave for the summit. So anything you do put there will be appreciated. And I also know that Noobman is running a Wormholes Town Hall on the 21st to get even more information. And yeah, I can't wait, it's going to be great. So contact me now if you need anything else, or if you want to talk to me about a specific issue.
The only issue I would like you to bring up, and I realize it might get heavily redacted, but I'd love for you to push CCP on more details about the surveillance arrays.
Yeah,
They're the most interesting structure by far, aside from maybe player-owned Stargates. I would love for there to be some movement on them in terms of concept and progress. So the CSM could inquire on our behalf. I would be very happy.
I'd be completely shocked if we did not have a session on structures in general, so I will endeavor to bring it up then for you.
Whee! Thank you!
Apart from new features, I'm particularly interested in, with the Wormhole Town Hall coming up, the discussion that's going to happen surrounding C5 escalations and what has happened as a result of them. It's a feature I think that could use a lot of iteration. And I think there are a lot of very polarizing views and hotly contested views on either side of the particular iteration of C5 and C6 escalations. I really, to be honest with you, I listened to the Wormhole Town Hall last time just to hear all the salt this topic would bring up, and it was glorious. So highly recommended, even if you're not interested in wormholes, listen to the Town Hall. The discussion is quite rousing.
Oh, let me tell you, the salt was nothing compared to the very interesting arguments we had over a couple of pints at the summit. That's as far as I'm going with that.
Aw, come, you can't leave us hanging.
Not like you. all of the CCB devs are incredibly, well, way better at drinking than I am, so... I do not remember much of the details of any arguments I may or may not have had in Iceland anyway.
Shout out to Seagull.
Shout out to Seagull for drinking both me and Kyle Apathos under the table. Like the strong independent woman she is. God bless her.
Strong independent woman!
Oh my god, never do that again, Alex. Fucking hell, my eardrums.
Rest in peace,
the glass in my room.
Oh man, so speaking of highlights, we normally do host highlights, however this time around we're going to do holiday highlights. I want you guys to hear about our Christmas breaks. My break was pretty significant. From the 16th or 17th onward, I had no access to League of Legends or EVE Online.
Oh, you poor guy.
I know, I went completely dry on video games except for games on my phone. I caught up on a lot of YouTube. I caught up on a lot of Netflix. Went to New York City, which was awesome. I highly doubt he'll ever be listening to this, but shout outs to Ray DeVito and shout outs to Hemda Khalili. Ray's a comic. Hemda's a singer, actor, comic, producer, podcaster, and like 8 other things. Both based in New York. It was really awesome to meet them. Just had a great time. Got to spend a lot of time with Sarah. My wonderful girlfriend is sitting on the couch playing Clash of Clans, I assume. She's nodding yes. She's a recent joinee to EVE. So if you guys see Slaw... What's your new character name, Slaw? Slaw Benchetta. If you see Slaw Benchetta logging in, make sure to give her a hi. Got to see the family for the first time in a year. That was really great. A lot of board games, a lot of movie hangouts, got to eat at all my favorite restaurants. It was pretty much the perfect trip home. So that worked out pretty well. And really looking forward to seeing them again going back next year. I think taking the extra time was absolutely key instead of just going down the week of Christmas like I did last year. It was just too crazy. So next time around, definitely going to try to get back a little earlier so I can hang out with the fam. Artemis, how was your holidays?
My holidays were interesting. Unlike you, you poor bastard, I did have access to EVE Online. I was playing it the majority of the time. Played a lot of The Binding of Isaac. I've been enjoying Afterbirth Plus, which recently came out. More particular, as far as within the EVE Online realm, MC every year does a Secret Santa, or at least in recent years since I've been there. And this year, I had a Secret Santa experience, as opposed to a more standard just gag gif or here you go, have a fax machine. In this particular one, apparently some rumors have been floating around my alliance that I'm a massive Care Bear and I'll kill anybody who repeats them. But as a result, my Secret Santa gift started out with tasking me with achieving solo PvP in a venture. And that was a very interesting experience, more challenging than you would expect when you're a Logi bro and have no ability to use guns. So drones and newts and the highs for the win. But past that, the most recent experience, which actually happened this Friday, was Noctis Night for Breakfast Club. I was tasked with enjoying some fleet PvP in a Noctis. I fit up a Nano Noctis with some shield tank, two nano fibers in the low slots, and took it on a roam through low sec. Had a lot of fun. Slaw did make it to that fleet. I saw her Velator floating around. Not too sure how she arrived in it, but fun times were had, and it was an amazing experience. Highly recommended. Take a Noctis to your Nano Gangs, bros.
Oh, the Battle Noctis was a very big highlight of the stream. People were very impressed.
It caused quite a lot of controversy in the fleet itself. Some people were not very happy, but it was fun.
This Hindu most upset about you tractoring all the loot.
Speaking of Battle Noctises, I actually have my own little highlight on along those lines. I took one of my fleets recently in Interceptors to one of the smaller timers, just in time to see a Jackdaw fleet get bombed into the tenth fucking dimension by Goonswarm. So I managed to sneak in with my little 20-man Interceptor fleet and steal about a billion ISK worth of Republic Fleet medium shield extenders before getting out.
Ooh.
That was pretty fucking hilarious, not gonna lie. So that's my highlight for the week.
Awesome.
I'll leave it with that. Because, I decided I was not going to FC for the last week of 2016, and it was boring, and I regretted every minute of it. Never again.
Some people are just born to command, and gotta listen to that call in your heart.
Other outlets.
Well, no other outlets. You've been
some people are dead inside.
You've been on so many podcasts recently. Your new fantastic video series. Maybe we should stop you from FCing so we can get the rest of that fantastic contact out.
I mean, all of that has been done alongside FCing because I've been on the ground. I need to get like a press jacket sometime soon. CCP, please.
Little orange vest and a helmet.
Yeah, a little blue press badge.
Yeah. Alright, do you guys want to debut the Theorem Crafting Corner? How are you feeling?
No. My voice is unfortunately short.
Alright guys, Theorem Crafting Corner coming in the next show. Next show.
I'm very sorry, but yeah, I've been on 3 podcasts in the past 2 days, and I'm trying to record my video to go out tomorrow morning, so sorry.
It's alright. Artemis, let's start off these region descriptions. We've got Artemis doing Innsmouth. I am going to do Immensi in my best rendition of a Moana song, and Jin will be doing Corazor.
Okay, hold on a minute. We're not going in alphabetical order right now. This is really not acceptable, Alec. Immensia goes first, and then Innsmouth. This is how the alphabet works, and we're sticking to it.
If I'm going to be singing this, do you really want to go after me?
Okay, never mind. Innsmouth. Little is known by the Empire about the region known as Innsmouth. Long a haunt of the Angel Cartel, it forms a tangled barrier between the dense southeastern cluster and the barbed mystery of the Catch region. Once the guardian of a little-visited backwater volume, in the wake of the Spectrum Breach incident, it now serves as the primary corridor between the southern expanse and the drone-infested eastern regions.
Excellent. Jin?
Okay. During the time that... I'm reading Corazor's region description.
Yes.
During the time that Dorium Corazor controlled this region, it became a prosperous and thriving center of interstellar trade, its planets and cities flourishing. The whole area went into a state of shock following their beloved Emperor's assassination, and despite many attempts at rekindling the economic prosperity and spirit, the region and its people still mourn the loss of one of their greatest leaders.
Nice. Alright. I don't know if this is really going to work. We're gonna try it out, guys. We're gonna try it. This is Immensi, done to the tune of We Know the Way from Moana. It's not really gonna match exactly, but just roll with me here. Roll with me. Immensi was mapped entirely by successive generations of an Amato Wayfinder clan, driven by tales of massive clusters of Arcanor in the deep south. They forged deeper and deeper into unexplored territory, mapping out a long corridor of space. Eventually, they encountered one of the many great voids littering the southern expanses and could go no further. Failing to locate any precious materials in any extraordinary volumes, they turned back. They returned to civilized space, content with the knowledge they pushed further south than any previous human.
It's
always their repatriation that they learned of the Amarian expedition launched many years later that, capitalizing on a number of technological advancements, had pushed down a parallel route through what is now Tenerifus, penetrating almost 10 light years further into uncharted territory and returning decades earlier. The name of the clan who mounted the expedition is now lost to history. Whoops.
Rip. Still, I want to get some banjos going on in that first section. That was some odd fire shit, fam.
I'd just like to say, prospective advertisers, ye be warned, if you have a song or a jingle with your advertisement, I highly recommend against it.
I don't know. I think it's like a service. It's a value add. You know, I'm increasing the value of the jingle. All right, guys. That's it. Go to declarationsofwar.com, participate in the show poll, leave a comment on the episode, take a look at the Capitalist Army, keep your eye out on the Deep South, try to get involved in this war if you can, it looks like it's awesome, and as always, good hunting, listeners. Two of Sammy Tim.